Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to Camp Half Pod. We are your head counselors. I'm Erin, daughter of Athena.
And I'm Monica, daughter of Persephone. This week, we're discussing chapters 25 through 32 of The Sun and the Star.
I was reading, because I have a physical copy of the book, and I was opening it to, unlike someone, I was opening it to find, like, the chapter for this week, and I was like, we're over halfway through?
I mean, they
get to Tartarus in your section of this, but they're over halfway through the book, and we're not in Tartarus. Wow. Also, this has gone really fast.
It's going really fast. We're also doing chunks of chapters at a time, which helps. But at the same time, there's so much going on. And so much of it also is just internal Nico feelings and emotions and then Will's feelings and emotions that you can kind of just, there's nothing like pivotal, except we got so caught up in Will and Nico's pivotal emotions. I didn't realize that last time I was like, they got on the boat and then they walked away. I didn't realize that.
I didn't notice you said that, so I was like, yeah, they probably did.
They still hadn't left. When Nico says, let's do one more story, they haven't gotten the boat yet. I think it's also, it was hard for me to understand what was going on because it was a flash forward. So finally we get caught up in this section and it makes sense, like, a lot better. I respect the idea of, like, they're, like, peppering in Will and Nico's stories while, like, like finding a way to give us the information that we missed. And, like, I was really craving, like, their stories of how they met, how they asked each other out when reading Trials of Apollo, because
same
at the end of Heroes of Olympus, I was like, I want to know more about these two. Like, they were so cute and I was so excited about them getting together. And so this answered that. It was just such a weird way to tell that story. It confused me so much. It finally makes sense now that we are, like, caught up to that flash forward scene. But yeah, so they're not on any boat yet. They get on a boat and they get on that boat in our section and they finally get to Tartarus too,
which means we're done with the flash forward scenes after this, because I agree, I'm like, they're really they're kind of jarring. I think that it's important to include those memories, though, of, like, how Nico and Will got together. I don't know if this was, like, the way that I would have done it if I was writing the book, but...
Yeah.
If I was doing this, I know so much more than them. Also became British, but, like, really badly for a second there.
Yeah, but I opened my Kindle version. It was, like, after this, we're, like, 65%. Through the book, and I was like, damn, like,
wow,
they have to find Bob and fight Nick, so, you know, a lot has to happen.
Yeah,
the last 40%. To tell you guys what we're going to be talking about in this section, Nico and Will will tell some more stories, they'll do some more storytelling before finally falling into the depths of Tartarus.
Story time with Nico and Will,
so cute. Campsite chats.
Yeah, I would have just read a book of that. Like, honestly, I didn't need them to go to Tartarus. I would have just read a little book of, like, how they got together, like, seeing that fleshed out scene of, like, their first kiss or when they first, like, confessed their feelings to each other. I would have read that and been perfectly happy.
Yeah, and I would have also, like, they could have had similar ups and downs, maybe not as intensely, but similar ups and downs just amongst the campers. Nico seeing Will being so popular and so good with other campers and not feeling like he belonged could be represented just with them playing capture the flag for, like, 400 pages.
I guess that's more the speed of fan fiction. Like, to have a full-fledged book, there has to be some kind of dilemma going on or conflict. that's like external, but yeah.
And this one is like the most intense thing they could think of. Like, let's toss them into Tartarus.
No, but it is so interesting that we haven't like properly met Nyx in this book yet, outside of like the memories Nico has or what we know of Nyx, because she's supposed to be such a like looming, threatening villain. And I'm like, we haven't even seen her yet.
Well, to be fair, when Percy was fighting Kronos and when they were fighting Gaia, like they were just haunting them in dreams. They didn't pop up. Oh. Besides Kronos popping up actually quite a lot, but that's different because it was Kruk. It wasn't Kronos.
Yeah.
Gaia doesn't pop up until the last like two chapters of the last Heroes of Olympus book. And she immediately gets put back to sleep.
But she's in their dreams, like whispering to them. Maybe, but Rick hasn't been doing the like dream. There's a lot of dreams in this, but they've been like trauma dreams that Nico's having and not like foresight into things. Maybe he heard us being like, stop using dreams in Heroes of Olympus, because it was every other chapter.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, I've got chapters 25 through 28. So Will and Nico return to Menoetes from their little side quest to retrieve Persephone's fruit, to find that Menoetes and the Trogs have all become good friends while they're away. And apparently His Majesty in particular has a penchant for herding cattle. And Menoetes is like, I'm gonna give you a job. Like, this is gonna work out. We're gonna work together in the future.
Can I just ask you something? When you wrote here, has a penchant for herding cattle, was that something that you just came up with yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, God, you're such a writer. Like, that's such a word that I would not have pulled out from my trove.
The moment where I was like, is that not a word?
I don't know. You can't.
I looked it up.
No, I'm sure it is. But I'm not the one to ask or correct you, because that is not a word. I would be like, His Majesty is good at herding cattle. The way I would have said that.
I don't know. I think it's
someone is
fun.
A published author. Picture. Okay, calm down.
Shout out to me.
Shout out to
penchant everywhere and everything I've written.
Shout out to Aaron's novel. If you haven't taken a look at it, it's called Laurel Everywhere.
Came out almost like 4 years ago now, which is really weird. Time isn't real.
So make sure that you should read it if you want to read this word penchant. Every seventh word is the word penchant.
See if it's in there. I don't know. I couldn't tell you, but it's quite sad. So
that is true.
Penchant feels like it could be a sad word.
I've never seen that word in my life.
Well, you're welcome. I'm going to put it in every text I send to you now.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Continue. Okay. His Majesty got a job. Continue.
His Majesty is employed now. And Menoetes is talking about staying in the underworld with Geryon forever. You know, his Menoetes, the gay demon that he mentioned in the last one. And Nico feels this weird sting of jealousy here that I thought was important to mention. And he thinks that Will would never stay in the underworld for him. And he's also like, I wouldn't ask that of him. Like, Will is the child of the sun god, but he feels some kind of complicated feelings about, he believes that Will would not stay for him. And I, in my own notes, was like, honestly, I think Will probably would, based on what we see from his point of view. He's very determined to stay with Nico and see this quest out. I think Nico is just like, they're not communicating, and Nico's assuming that Will hates everything that's going on.
What's crazy about this, too, is that Nico also doesn't want to stay in the underworld forever.
Yeah. He just is kind of upset by the fact that he doesn't think Will would be willing to do that for him. But it's not like Nico's having a great time down here.
No, and he doesn't visit super. He just visits. He doesn't live in the underworld. As much as he is like, I am the king of ghosts or whatever, he is still like a human. And he still probably loves using key. He like referenced Lil Nas X. Like, I'm sure, I don't know if they get Wi-Fi down in the underworld. There are things that he would enjoy back up on the surface world.
Yeah.
He's just being moody.
Yeah. I mean, he's being affected by being in the underworld, which like, they're already being affected. They're not even a Tartarus yet.
I know. Damn.
They're in for quite a trip. So in exchange for the fruit, Menoetes gives them some information. He confirms that Nyx does have it out for Bob specifically because of his courage to change his ways, and has him detained in one of those regeneration zits, like never able to break out of it. He tells them that they can find Bob by going to Damison's hut deep in Tartarus. As we remember, that was our Tartarus Shrek.
Mm-hmm.
In the
Get
swamp.
Get out of my swamp. Yeah.
Get out of my swamp.
Sorry, and that was not a great accent.
It was really bad, and I just, like, mimicked it back like a parrot.
No hesitation.
None. Just... Then Menoetes leaves them to continue their journey.
Okay, just quickly, this is when I kind of had to put my book down for a second and just process all of this. Because you're telling me that the goddess of the night, like the embodiment of night itself, spends her time hanging out next to a zit, just saying demeaning things to Bob because he refuses to be a Titan, and she just believes people should do what they were born to do. Like, her her conviction in believing that Bob shouldn't be allowed to change his name and get a different job, do a different line of work,
right?
Is so intense that she leaves her little house of the nighttime and goes and just yells at a zit that he's stuck in forever. I just had a moment where I was like, this is the path we're going on.
And like in the swamp too. Like, she's hanging out in the swamp.
She's like, so like Kronos's whole thing was he wants to be king. He's just a tyrant. Gaia's whole thing was like, she's like, hey, humans are destroying the earth and like the Olympians are allowing it to happen. Mother Nature is going away. The humans are a menace. Let me just like restart society with my favorite children, the giants. And so that is like a little bit admirable. Nyx is just so
annoying. She's not threatening. Like, it's not scary. I mean, I know like the concept of night and darkness is scary, but the way she's going about this, she doesn't scare me.
Like, bitch, get a job. Like, yeah. What are you doing?
Well, and also, like, what does she mean she's afraid of change? Like, the night changes, as we learned from One Direction. Doesn't that drive you crazy?
Nyx is driving me crazy.
The night changes.
In the biblical word of One Direction.
Yes, you know? Yeah. The ancient text the of ancient One Direction.
The ancient text. It says The night changes. Therefore, Nyx needs to change and, like,
allow Bob. She needs to change. Get with the times. You know, there's the moon in the sky changes phases all the time. The night, ever changing.
Yeah. Bob is allowed to be a janitor
if he wants to be. He just wants to be a janitor. It's not like he even has a good job.
He wants to sweep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
like,
sorry,
does he even get benefits? Anyway,
probably not. But
probably
that was,
not. Hades probably doesn't pay him that well.
See, that's what like really got me. This made me slow down in this book a little bit. Like, these chapters are very interesting because a lot happens. But then this being the villain besides Nico's own feelings is really hard to digest.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I believe that Nico's own feelings are more of a villain than Nyx in this. Yeah. I don't, especially because we know how she fought against Percy and Annabeth, and she was very easy to defeat.
Yeah.
And so, minus her house. Her house was scary.
Yeah, understandable.
The house is doing all the work.
And she's not even at the house, she's at the swamp.
Yeah.
Maybe she brings Bob to her home, and then it's just like, look at this house.
She's out for a day at the swamp. Oh, Nyx. Okay, yeah. So we get, I think this is the final, like, canoe flashback, flash forward scene that we get here. Mm-hmm. So in the little canoe scene, they're on the dock. They're not in the boat. I had a moment where I thought they were in the boat too. So I think it is confusing that they, like, because they were told they could go and they never decided to go. Yeah. And Nico asks Will if he recalls the first time they kissed. It was apparently after Jason died, and Will didn't know what to do, so he kissed Nico, and Nico kissed him back, finding light in the moment of grief. And in recalling this memory, Nico is crying also, and Will holds him, and it's kind of like echoing the memory. And then Gorgeira lets them embark on the boat, which will guide them straight to Tartarus. And you actually had a very good point here that you texted me after reading this. Care to share?
I'm confused on the timeline. I also did not date in high school, so maybe you can enlighten me. But, like, they were boyfriends. Like, they were official. Yeah. They were very affectionate. They were calling. They were, like, they were together in the beginning of Trials of Apollo. Like, book one, they are together. Jason doesn't die until, like, what, book two?
Three.
Damn. Those all blur together. He doesn't die until book three. So you're saying that they were like, let's be boyfriends. And they just, they never kissed until Jason died. But also, like, they're young. So maybe that was just like, we're boyfriends. So we'll hold hands and we'll just like be around each other. And you're my significant annoyance. And then finally Will built up the courage to kiss him. I don't know. The timeline is a little confusing to me.
Yeah, it feels like if they were like 12-year-olds dating, that would be more believable to me. But they're supposed to be like 15 or 16. And like the way Nico and Will, when they're like talking about the memory, it's like it was very impulsive. And like Will wasn't sure if Nico would kiss him back or would like it. And like started to apologize and then Nico kissed him back. And so that leads me to believe they had not established a relationship yet and Rick messed up the timeline again.
Okay, but like, I mean, I'm not looking at any Sun in the Star spoilers, so I'm wondering if this is the thing. I mean, people are much more attuned to things like that than I am, so this has to have been a point of contention with the fans, right?
I don't actually know, because I avoided a lot of the conversation because I didn't read it until a bit after it came out. Mm. So I didn't really pay attention to any of the conversation surrounding it.
Interesting.
And so I don't know. I wonder if people have clocked that, if people have remedied it, or like maybe we are remembering wrong, but I'm pretty sure they were together in the first Trials of Apollo book and like referring to each other as each other's boyfriend.
Yeah, because Apollo has a whole really obnoxious stance of like, what do you mean? Why are you being homophobic? I'm not homophobic. My son can date whoever he wants.
Yep. He's like, I'm actually like not straight too. And we're like, we know Apollo. It was obvious. But yeah, timeline confusing. Doesn't make sense. But it's a sweet memory. Like the moment itself is really cute. It doesn't really fit into the greater canon of Trials of Apollo. Though I guess you could argue like maybe they'd been dating, but like awkwardly we're not, I don't know, the fact that like Will seemed confused, like seemed apologetic and wasn't sure if Nico would return the feelings makes me think they weren't dating, and so confusing. All right, so then the Trogs lead them deeper into Tartarus, and along the way Will, who is already really weak from the lack of sunlight, he takes a tumble and gets pretty injured, and they also have to fight off some Dracons. There's some like action sequence. The Trogs are surprisingly very good at fighting Dracons, and Nico goes and helps too, and I was like, where were they in the Battle of Manhattan?
Truly.
Could have saved Selena's life. Will gets a pretty nasty cut along his abdomen that won't heal, which goes to show that Will's healing powers have gotten weaker in the underworld, because a lot of the time he can like heal pretty quickly. They eventually reach their shortcut, which turns out to be the Acheron, the River of Pain and Punishment.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Can't make it easy. And they have to fully go into the river to pass the shortcut, but they don't have to swim. They have to take a boat. And this is where Gorgeera is finally introduced in this main timeline. They see her sitting on the riverbank with a large white canoe waving to them. They thank the Trogs for their help and then head towards the nymph. Nico says that she sort of reminds him of Juniper, Grover's girlfriend that he never visits. And she introduces herself to them as the wife of Acheron at the edge of the underworld.
What I thought was really funny about this scene, it felt very real because they both are, Will and Nico are start fighting because the Trogs haven't fully explained that they don't have to swim. And so they are talking about taking a plunge and Nico's like, his insecurities are really driving the conversation. So he and Will start having a fight about like suffering. And Nico's like, I've been through more hell than you. And Will is like, yeah, that's fine. But like doesn't mean that you're not going to experience pain. I'm also going to experience pain. I'm not sunshine and rainbows. Like there are things that I have regrets of. And should be punished for. And they're having this full-on argument, and it's hilarious because the Trogs are like, so sorry, miscommunication. They see that lady over there? She's going to help you. I don't have to get into the water.
You know, the Trogs are like, did you think you had to swim?
I'm like, that's insane. Idiots. We would not, like, make you do that. Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, Will makes a comment that he's worried about Nico going through it, and then Nico's like, oh, because you assume I've done terrible things, and it's just like, oh god. Yeah, they're having a lot of communication issues, which honestly, Gorgeira, like, with what we've seen with all the flash forwards, she's kind of a little therapy for them.
She is.
Yeah, so I did Google her. I could not find a lot, because as we've talked about, as these books have gone on for longer and longer, Rick is really, like, reaching for the more obscure characters and figures mentioned in mythology. But she was also known as Orphne, and was a nymph that lived in the underworld. She was the mother of Ascalaphus, who with Acheron as the father, who is the custodian of the orchards of the underworld. And I did click on him because there was more information on him, honestly. And he was the original snitch, basically, because he was who told on Persephone that she ate pomegranate seeds from the orchard, which resulted in her having to stay in the underworld for 4 months as, like, a punishment. So that's really all I could find. Not that I consulted the Oracle about it. I consulted. Is Wikipedia the Oracle? Maybe.
Maybe. I would believe that.
Yeah. Someone that makes, this is off topic, but shout out, someone DM'd us because there was a meme going around that was talking about a couple of the other Percy Jackson podcasts as, like, the Holy Trinity. And I shared the meme and I was like, does this mean that we're the devil? And a bunch of people responded very funny things to it, but someone responded and were like, you guys are, like, the Oracle that's really unhinged that we all prefer to listen to. And I was thank you. And
it's also, like, that nice is the vibe. Nice little backhanded compliment. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, hey, you're like, insane, thanks, ladies. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I was like, oh, so we're, like, the weird Oracle in the cave? Cool. Thank you. Anyway. So from the river Acheron, they can hear voices calling out in pain, saying things like, why doesn't anyone love me? What's wrong with me? She'll never say yes, etc., etc. They're voices of lonely souls that have been weaved into Gorgeira's dress. They ask her for her boat, but of course there's a price they must pay. They must tell her stories about their lives in exchange for passage. All right, my notes, I wrote a lot in this note. I was really thinking, I guess. I thought it was interesting how there were a couple parallels in these chapters to Will and Nico. So there's Menoetes and Geryon that Nico first compares himself to as, like, a couple that are, like, staying in the underworld for each other and makes Nico insecure about his relationship. And then I was thinking about how Gorgeira and Acheron are sort of like a dark parallel of Will and Nico, because Gorgeira is really sad and she mentions how her husband has lost his physical form and sense of self by absorbing so much pain. And that seems to be the way that Will is thinking about Nico, like, is afraid that's how he's going to turn out, because Nico just, like, lives within his darkness. And Nico also seems to think he cannot be helped, and Will will never understand him, even though he's not letting Will try to understand him. And so I thought that was interesting. Like, we see quite a few, like, couples that are either highlighting the dysfunction of Will and Nico, or they are dysfunctional and making them think about it.
It is interesting because Gorgeira stays. Even though her husband has lost his form, she stays.
Yeah. And just like how Will would stay for Nico, but Nico doesn't believe that.
Yeah. And so he's just going to deteriorate into just a concept.
Yeah. Oof. Fun. Love that.
Healthy.
Healthy relationships. That's what this book is all about.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, I have chapters 29 to 32. So now we're fully caught up. Now we have no more flash forwards and flashbacks. And it even says, it acts as if now we have already told all the stories. And so Nico and Will tell Gorgiera the story how they gave each other gifts. So after the war with Nero, Will had a coin made for Nico with Apollo's sun on one side and Hades' helm on the other. It's like this idea that they're going to be together forever. It's very, what you say, like a gift, like a homemade gift that you would imagine, like very teenage love would come up with. It's very cute. And Nico almost, it's all very cute because it's almost like in a panic where Nico gets this gift that is so meaningful and it's just very vulnerable. He panics and he's like, well, I have something for you. Here's my ring. So Will wears Nico's skull ring on a necklace, and it's something that Nico really identifies with and he's had for a really long time. So it's very important to him. So they both hold on to each other's gifts. And this is where Nico puts together that Gorgiera is actually making them tell these stories, not because she's a nosy bitch, but because it gives them strength for the journey ahead. She's literally giving them couples therapy, where she's reminding them of how strong they are together, all these good moments that they had together, and building them up because they're about to plunge into Tartarus. So they decide to go on the boat, and they know that they're going to experience pain, but even though Will is a healer and he's like someone who tries to avoid pain at all costs, he understands it's a necessary part of life. And Gorgiera even reminds them that pain helps us learn and you don't forget lessons that pain teaches you, which is a very interesting, almost like glass half full way to look at the thing that is her husband, which is a river of pain. So they hop onto the boat and they sail away. The current picks up speed and the roar of the waterfall starts getting louder, so they're bracing to go over the edge. As they get closer to the waterfall edge, the voices of the pain and the souls that are trapped in the river start becoming louder. And they're actually the voices that are drawing out horrible memories from the boys. They're angry, terrified, and they're in pain. And so Nico goes through like all of his usual things of like all the people he's killed, all the monsters he's destroyed. He even sees the death of Bianca, even though he wasn't there. It's that feeling coming to life and manifesting in a memory that even if it wasn't real, the pain itself was real. Will is getting hit with it too, but it's like more of he is feeling that he is responsible for letting Nico kill people. And he's voicing this out loud, just pissing Nico off because it's hurting him. Basically, he is guilty and feeling guilty about letting Nico kill Octavian, which Nico already feels guilty himself. But to know that the person he cares about the most feels that way and sees him that way really stings. But Nico's like, we got to stay focused. So like, I need you to get yourself together, keep your oars to the side, brace your legs because we're about to go over the waterfall. So now we do a part two. I guess it's a third fall into Tartarus at this point in our Percy Jackson universe.
Damn.
And Nico is two out of the three falls.
Poor Nico.
So it's a fall that feels like it lasts days. Both boys are too terrified to speak. They're just pressing against each other as their boat falls. Nico manages to tell Will that he loves him as he falls. He's like, the thing that he was hearing in the voices of Gorgiera's dress right before they left, even though it was terrified and it was pained and all of that stuff, after they had told them the stories and they had a little cute little kiss moment, he started hearing hope in the voices of the terrified and the pain. And he knows that hope is the thing that will get them going and get them through this. So he's like, I'm going to tell Will that I love him, because it's true, probably. But it's also, I was like, reading it, I was just like, it's good that you've said this, but then to say I love you in the middle of like such turmoil is both brave and also really stupid, which is very teen love, I feel. So it's really nice to read also about.
In Annabeth said it to Percy as they fell as well.
Yeah, which is very true. It's a very parallel. But the difference is, I think, is like going into the fall, it was really romantic with Percy, like falling for Annabeth, and they're doing it together, and Annabeth returns that love. Like, Percy's love is all action, and so Annabeth has words. This is like Will has just hurt Nico in a really terrifying and deep way, and Nico still says I love you, which is very beautiful, but it's a different, it's a little sad compared to Annabeth and Percy. So they finally start to see Tartarus. Like, the darkness of falling comes to, and they see the red clouds, and they kind of realize they're about to go splat, like, in the terrain. They're going to hit the lava. They're going to hit the terrain. There's also, the clouds are made out of blood. So there's blood acid rain, which is like, why not? Throw that in there.
Why the heck not?
Will reminds Nico that if anyone can save them, it's Nico. He's super powerful, and Nico uses that motivation to use his powers to basically build a skateboard ramp out of skeletons to give them as a cushion to fall. So it basically, the way Percy had the water grab him and Annabeth and pull them into the river, this ramp kind of guides them down so that slows their fall into something a little bit more doable. They land safely, and naturally that took all of Nico's energy, so he passes out. Will watches over Nico as he sleeps. He's feeling anxious and horrified by the sight of Tartarus. He's also, I was thinking about this when during your chapters, where he falls, he gets a gash on his leg. Nico is like, Will's not made for this. He's suffering so much. Yada, yada, yada. I was thinking as I was reading this, where I was like, Will has been so useless. He's pulling a Grover from PJO. But then he does this thing when I'm reading it where he mimics whatever I've been thinking. So then I was like, okay. So it's like, I can imagine as someone who is very like, service is like a love language for me, and I don't like being helpless. I can imagine that his character, who is usually, you know, the only medic at Camp Half-Blood, is the one who's taking care of everyone, is the reason everyone is alive, is feeling really helpless and just feeling really mad at himself for being a little delicate darling. I really liked reading that, because I was like, that's so interesting to see that reflected back at me. The thing I was thinking about his character was Grover. We never get his point of view, so I don't know if he felt like a little delicate darling, but yeah. So Will's like, since I've been underground, I've just felt weak. I've had to rely on Nico to take care of me. He's like, what is the point of me coming and trying to help Nico if I'm only going to slow him down and make myself a burden to him? He's also feeling extremely guilty about accusing Nico of murder. He's like, that wasn't fair at all. Like, he's so mad that he lost control of his impulsive, like, intrusive thoughts. And he probably hurt Nico a lot, which is like the last thing he wanted to do. So he's like, what can I do to do something, be a little bit more helpful? So he uses some forged rocks and he turns the boat over to make a little makeshift shelter, because if it starts raining acid and blood, he's like, we've got to be a little bit safer. So he's trying to think ahead while Nico's passed out. So he's continuing on this high of like, I need to help, I need to be productive, but he's also being slammed with the absurdity of this quest. He's like, why did we say yes to this? This is not something that's plausible. We are not doing well. We've been here for 2 minutes and it's already like breaking my mind. He's also like, I had to rely on Nico so much to take care of me. I need to take some initiative. So he decides to investigate the regeneration pimple pod things. So he decides to climb up a hill with a lot of these pods. So the description of zits that Nico told him about isn't quite right. It looks more like embryonic sacs because it's alive. He can see the shapes inside of it. He can see it pulsing. He's disgusted by it, but he's also kind of fascinated because it's kind of breaking his mind. He decides he wants to go to the top of the hill so he can see better. He can get a better vantage point of their surroundings so they can make a plan, because they have no idea what direction the swamp is. They have no idea where Bob is being kept. They need some kind of path or map or something like that. Unfortunately, the hill is steep and there's a lot of pimple sac pods around. And so Will slips and his leg ends up going through one of the membranes and breaking the membrane open. His bare skin, because he insisted on wearing shorts, burns, and the little hole he's created allows our little Stamphalian birds, if you remember them from Trials of Apollo, was it?
Yeah, and I think they were in PJO too.
Yeah, they were the ones who hate...
Music.
What was was it specifically?
Chiron was it Dean Martin, I think?
Yes, Dean Martin's music specifically is what they hate. And he sees one little one pop out, and at first he's like, maybe it's nice. And then it kind of attacks him, so he kicks it to the side. But when he looks, it has brought all of his friends. Of course, it's not just one little Stamphalian bird. It is a whole flock of them. And there was a moment where I also was like, okay, so just full disclosure, I have not read ahead. So I am reading along with this. So I'm making predictions and hopeful things as I go along. I was like, oh my God, is Will going to get a little pet? And then there was a flock of them. And I was like, I don't know about that. And I was like, I hope they're friendly. And Will hoped they were friendly too. But they start pecking at him. They don't kill him though, which they easily could with their bronze beaks. But instead they lift him up and carry him into the sky. And he's like, oh my God, this is the worst possible thing that could happen. Because as he looks down, he sees something tall with furry legs and horns, and it's about to lift the boat from the ground. And he's helplessly being flown away.
Nice.
Yep. I think that's the Minotaur. That's my guess. Because that's like furry legs and horns. I think that's your man. Because they thought the demon was the Minotaur, and it ended up not being. So I feel like that was like a little bit of a hint of what is to come.
We see ghosts of the Minotaur everywhere.
Haunting you specifically. Because I think he's haunting you, and therefore you're haunting me with memories of how you describe this bull man.
The bit will follow me forever.
Forever. This is your internet history. The internet is forever, and you on the internet says you thought the Minotaur was hot. So
yeah, well, you know.
It's okay. I blamed a 14-year-old girl for dying, so well, that's haunting me.
To each their own.
So my notes, I hope the Stamphalian birds imprint on Will, like little baby ducks, and they make him their new mother. I think that would be really cool, especially because he's not going to be able to provide a lot in this journey except for a little bit of emotional support when he and Nico aren't fighting. So it'd be really nice if he had like a flock of birds with bronze beaks that he could command at will. At will.
Not at will.
I also thought it was such a teen boy move on insisting on wearing shorts, even though it's probably safer for his entire body to be covered and wear pants. And Nico makes a point of it too. When Will falls down, he scrapes his knees a lot. And Nico's like, why do you insist on wearing shorts? And Will's like, it's comfortable. Nico's also like probably in leather pants, so it doesn't help.
He's like skin tight leather pants.
Cutting off his circulation, making him go even more crazy.
Yeah.
I also was like trying to figure out if I'm too old for this book because...
Yeah.
I think, obviously, I'm not the audience for it in general, but, like, for me, PJO is, like, timeless because it's so nostalgic, and it's also the first of its kind, and I read it when I was younger than Percy. So, like, that, I read it for the first time when I was younger than Percy. And Heroes of Olympus, I wasn't that much older when I was reading Heroes of Olympus for the first time. I was, like, I think I was, like, maybe 18, 19
when
I was reading those books, too. Or maybe I was younger because I remember reading them in our high school library. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely. And I feel like Heroes of Olympus, though it's technically classified as middle grade, to me it reads more like YA.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like there's a lot more themes. I think there's a lot more violence in it too. Trials of Apollo was a lot more violent too. There were aspects of it, I think, that are things that are funnier to a younger audience. Yeah. But again, it touches on themes of abuse and it's very violent, and it talks about like parent-children relationships, which I think is a timeless topic. This is a very much like, this is how do you have a relationship when you hate yourself as a teenager?
Yeah. Which I guess this is an like is an intense theme.
Mm-hmm.
But I do agree. I do feel the voice overall in this book, to me at least, feels a little bit younger than Heroes of Olympus and Trials of Apollo. Like, it feels more solidly middle grade. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of it is like, how do you accept yourself? How do you like communicate with someone you care about? Which are, of course, lessons that everyone needs at every point in their yeah. life. But the way that they're being explained in the book and kind of being like very clearly these messages are being pretty well spelled out, it feels like it's more for younger readers.
And like us laughing about Nick's not having a job and like yelling, yeah, like, but for a lot of especially younger kids, that's a very real like evil, like someone who yeah. won't let them be themselves and exactly. goes out of their way to bully them. Whereas mm-hmm. like as an adult, as someone in their like late 20s, like you try to bully me, it's more of I'm gonna just be like, okay, whatever. Like I've lived a little bit more life. I'm not old as much as our Discord or some of our fans think we are. But I am, like, I have lived, like, I have been 15. I have survived being 15. I've survived being yeah. all these ages where those were the ages where, like, people could maybe get at me a little bit easier. And now it's like, you could get at me, but I have a support system and I've lived a bit more life and more comfortable with who I am that I can laugh at someone like Nyx. But mm-hmm. that's not easily laughable when you're 16, 15 and someone is like, hey, who you are is wrong and
yeah,
you should feel bad about being yourself or wanting to be someone who is not who I think you should be.
Yeah. And it feels pretty on the nose that like a lot of Nyx's issues, like the things she doesn't like when people are changing or going against the status quo, kind of feels like an allegory for queerness and sexuality. Like especially for young readers who maybe are growing up in a household where that's not something that's accepted, being able to have this book as like, yes, it is. And this is how you like love yourself and learn to love yourself. It's pretty cool.
It is.
And
really cool.
Someone in my late 20s, I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. I was reading this and there was like, when I had to put the book down for a moment, I was like, why is Nyx jobless? I also had this moment. I was like, are you kidding me? That's so embarrassing for her. Girl, boss it up. What are you doing? I think that younger me would have eaten this up. Like, this is so yeah. good. And this, like, the relationship is very sweet. And it also is exactly how I, like, was thinking about miscommunicating. Like, I was miscommunicating with all of my peers all the time. So, like, mm-hmm. you're so in your own head. It makes sense that Nico would feel this way and Will and him are having these communication issues and yeah. insecurities. So I think I'm just too old for this book.
Yeah. But it is interesting because there's a lot of middle grade books that I read, though often it's ones I reread from my childhood, but ones that I'm like, this still has things in it that I'm, like, still learning from or realizing as an adult. Like, when I reread Gregor the Overlander, fully expecting that to be bad now in adulthood. And those were great. Like, I was like, those, like, still slapped as an adult. So,
I guess it's just what theme it is. Gregor the Overlander yeah. is like, hey, war is wrong. And that's yeah. pretty applicable regardless of your age. Like, same way yes. with Hunger Games, right? Yeah. And Percy Jackson, too. It's just like, can you let anger drive you to do bad things and become a bad person? And what yeah. is the difference between being bad and being good, right?
Yeah.
That's a great topic, a theme that's, like, applicable for everyone. And also, I think for us is that we are reflective people. So it's easy for us to be like, la, 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 we don't let things bother us. Things do bother us, but maybe not.
Oh, things bother me all the time.
But not in this way of just kind of like, oh, what a loser for being the villain in that way. Yeah. But at the same time, there's a lot of people, even adults, who don't know how to handle this at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Who, like, if they're told that because they're trying to change or be different, that it's not acceptable, then this is, like, a powerful message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, like, interesting to, like, think back, because I think I had a hard time getting into this book, and I was, like, trying to yeah. figure out what it was, because I really love Nico and Will as characters. And I love Same. Their love story, because, you know, kicking my feet and giggling.
Yeah. Same. And having, like, read the whole book, because it took me a while to get through it, too, and I couldn't figure out why, because I was like, the messages in this are great, the characters are great, but I think it's written a little a little younger. And I think once I finished the book as a whole, I was like, this is really powerful for like young readers. I just don't know if it's landing as solidly for me, because maybe it's something that it felt a little on the nose with some things. Mm-hmm. But young readers need it to be a little more on the nose sometimes. Yeah. All right, should we do our lightning bolt questions?
Yes, please.
Okay. So if you were Gorgeera, the nymph, what kind of stories would you ask someone to tell you in exchange for your help?
This is so funny because I had this conversation with somebody recently. what stories do I like to, not collect, but I like to hear about when it's secondhand stories almost, or thirdhand stories. I want to know more about you as a person when I'm talking to you one-on-one. But if I want a story, what story do I want to hear? And I love these stories of, it's almost like small town business, but I don't have to be involved in any way. For example, I know somebody in my town, in my hometown, or someone I grew up with who, you know, they had this torrid affair and it was all over this. And it's like that stuff like that where it's like juicy, like what you would imagine two old ladies would be chatting about on their porch and telling stories about. I love hearing that, but I don't love hearing it when it's about people that I love, because I'm like, oh man, okay, let's talk about this in a really serious manner. When it's just a passing story, I'm like, tell me your favorite story about that.
Yeah, honestly, I agree. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I want gossip. I would love it to be a bit about specifically people. I'm going to be specific for my my Nico and Will needing help. About people that I like tangentially know.
Yes.
Like someone I went to high school with, or someone who's like the cousin of someone I know. Or in like things that they did that are like sketchy. Some drama they got into. I would love to hear about that. I think I would help someone a lot. Like even more. There'd be layers to it if they gave me like a story about someone I don't like that like paints them in a bad light or like reaffirms my opinion of them, I'd be like, yes, thank you. I grow stronger every day.
Was so funny because that's why, as weird and unhinged as they are, the anime stories that I still get emails about, I'm like, yes, like tell me about this asshole who was mean to you in sixth period. Like I love it. Yeah
It feeds you.
Feeds me. Yeah. It's funny too, because I read this question before I read my chapters and I was like, oh, that's so true. And then I read it and I saw that Gorgeera was doing it to help them become strong and was providing therapy for them. And I was like, oh, well, my answer makes me look like an asshole. Well, oh, yeah, well.
No. It's just, you know, it's for your own, especially if I was stuck in like the end near Tartarus by myself listening to Lonely Souls, I want something funny.
Yeah. And I'm like mad at my husband. I can help
them.
All right, my question is, be honest, are you a pimple popper?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Do you like watching those videos?
No, I don't like the videos. They gross me out. I can't do the videos. I get queasy with them, but I love popping pimples. It's honestly a problem.
I do too. I like can't stand if it's like not cleaned out or what. I like popping my like pimples, but I cannot stand watching those videos. They make me
feel like, ugh. I don't get the appeal of the videos. Like, if it's on someone else, I'm like, ugh. Just myself. I'm like, this is fine. I'm cleansing myself, even though I'm making it worse.
I'm curious if there's an overlap, if there's, like, a Venn diagram, or is it, like, two separate circles? So maybe we should ask people vote. Like, are you – like, three answers. Like, are you a pimple popper? Do you like watching the videos? Or do you like doing both?
Okay, for our last one, I do have a audio message. This question has nothing to do with this chapter, but I was like, well, we got an audio message with the question, so I'll just include it.
There is a lot of, like, I'm getting a lot of lightning bolt questions that are, like, about Percy or about, like, from Trials of Apollo that I kind of want to tackle at one point or the other and just answer them, because they're really good questions. They just don't have anything to do with their chapters, or they're sent way after the fact. So maybe we should just start including them.
Yeah, we can include like random ones from people, or we'll eventually catch up on them. Okay, let me play this one.
Hi, I'm Willow. I'm 12 years old. I really love your podcast. I listen to it almost every day, and I've listened to all the episodes. I have a really cool idea. If Hermes were to start a travel blog or a travel agency, and I was wondering for a lightning bolt question, what would you guys think it would be named? I hope you can share this recording or at least give me a shout out on an upcoming episode, and I'm really excited to see what you guys are doing. Bye.
Well, thank you, Velo. That was so cute.
So nice. And also, so I guess, so if Hermes had a travel company or blog or whatever, what do you think he would name it?
I feel like it had something either to do with George and Martha. It'd be like George and Martha's travel agency has nothing to do with Hermes. Or it would be really funny if it was a play on like Hermes, like the brand.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, my brain was like trying to think of like Travelocity and like how to fit Hermes' name in there, like Travelos Hermie.
That's funny.
Thank you so much. Expedia, you can't really fit him in there any. And like George and Martha are kind of hard to fit in there too. So I think it would be like a pre-existing one that he would steal the name and change it a little bit. You'd probably commit some kind of illegal thing, plagiarism,
Plagiarism, yeah.
fraud, probably.
Now he'll get away with it. He's a god.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that was a fun one, though.
If Luke had stayed alive, or like he had become evil and then he stayed alive and he got punishment, I think it'd be really funny if he did like a Luke, I am your father as his, and just harass this boy for the rest of his life. I mean, I understand that like Hermes is sad about Luke becoming
Whatever.
Crook, but I think he deserves a little bit of punishment.
Yeah, I think so too. We are not Luke apologists on this
No,
podcast.
at
There's a lot
all.
of them coming out of the weeds after the show, and I'm like, y'all, we are Luke haters here.
I think it's easier in the books when he's like 19 and Annabeth's in love with him. In the TV show, they made it more of like Annabeth is immediately like on sight, I will fight you kind of vibes. I don't know how it's gonna go in season two, but it's easier to like forgive him for that. Whereas like in the books, it's like, she's 12. You stay away from that child.
But I'll remember it. They take it out of the show, I remember Luke.
I won't forget. All right, we're going to be back with chapters 33 through 40 of The Sun and the Star next time.
If you are interested in supporting us, all the links to our stuff, Patreon, Ko-fi, and merch will be in the description of the episode.
If you are interested in getting your voice on the podcast, much like Willow, the link is in the episode description as well.
You can follow us on social media at Camp Half Pod. Email us, camphalfpod@gmail.com.
Don't forget to rate and review if you haven't already.
Bye-bye.